Good morning. My name is Howard Glazer. I'm Director of State Operations for Governor Cuomo. We're joined this morning not only by the governor, but by a team of state and federal officials that are with us today coordinating on storm preparation and response. With me to my right is Colonel Paul Owen from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, the commander of the district here, Joseph Loda, Chairman and CEO of Metropolitan Transportation Authority, Scott Reckler, Vice Chairman of the Port Authority. We have General Patrick Murphy of the New York Guard and Army Guard, Joe D'Amico, the Superintendent of the State Police, Captain Gordon Lobel is the Senior Commander of the Captain of the Port, and Michael Moriarty, the Deputy Regional Administrator of FEMA. The storm remains a statewide event, and New York State remains under the state of emergency that was declared by the governor a couple of days ago. Yesterday, the governor spent the day reviewing storm preparations throughout the state, given that the nature of this event will be of long duration and throughout the state. Visited Long Island, the Catskills, the North Country, the Mohawk Valley, and briefed with the Southern Tier to work with all of our local partners in that area. This morning, the governor visited the World Trade Center Ground Zero site. Yesterday, he had directed the Port Authority to take active steps to secure that site and reviewed those actions this morning. Sometimes storms are veer from their predictions. Unfortunately, the latest forecasts are that this storm is doing what forecasters believe it is going to do. At this point, the Weather Service still is predicting potential historic flooding tonight into early Tuesday morning. Obviously, the timing and track of the storm will determine the actual magnitude of coastal flooding, but it remains a very real concern. As part of that, yesterday, the governor directed that the New York City transit system shut down, and at this point, all subway, rail, bus systems have been suspended in accordance with the plan. The surge concerns that you'll hear more about this morning, just by comparison, in Hurricane Irene, this area recorded about a little bit over a 4-foot storm surge with a total water level, when you look at both the tide and the storm surge, of about 9.5 feet. The difference now is you're looking at a high tide this evening between about 8 and 9 o'clock, full moon, and a storm surge predicted at 6 to 11 feet above normal. If that water level were to verify, approximately over 11 feet, it would break the record that was set by Hurricane Donna in September of 1960 of 10.5 feet. So these are still serious. There are other models that put the projected storm surge closer to Irene, but the latest information we have is that Irene levels are currently being seen in the region right now. Wind also is a major concern, damaging winds of long duration, 35 to 45 miles an hour, 40 to 75 mile an hour gusts. We're hearing some predictions of 90 mile an hour gusts in the region as well, with the strongest winds expected later today and this evening. The governor will have a number of announcements to make today that build on the steps that he's taken over the last couple of days. But first, as you can see, we're here with our federal partners as well, and I'd like to ask I'd like to ask Colonel Owen to begin with his presentation.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Glazer. I'm here representing the New York District of the Army Corps of Engineers, and we've had a strong partnership with New York State, and it's pretty clear to us as one of the agencies that assists FEMA in doing the federal response to disasters that New York State is very well prepared, and our assets and our capabilities only come in after the state and has exceeded their capabilities, which at this time, again, the state looks very well prepared to do what needs to be done to ride out the effects of this event. So a couple of things that we'd like to emphasize is we've talked about the surge a little bit in Lower Manhattan. That's one of the scenarios we think could be problematic. So right now we see the storm at Hurricane Irene levels. So all of you that are familiar with the Hurricane Irene effects from last year, this event, we're already at those levels at this point. So if you've driven along in the city in Manhattan, as the governor has done, witnessed, and you've seen that those levels where they're at. So we think there could be some overtopping based on the tidal surge that's going to happen this evening. Again, Mr. Glazer pointed that out. And so it's we're going to be prepared to assist the state in any assistance they have with specific capabilities in emergency power generation, potentially some pumping, and other things that may be necessary, again, if the capabilities are exceeded. The other potential area we see with that could be problematic is the Barrier Islands and Long Island. If we have a breach there, we don't see any impacts that could happen that we're going to really affect life or limb based on a Barrier Island breach, but I think it'd be wise for all to follow the guidance that's been put out by the state in terms of actions to take for evacuation. For post-storm recovery operations, again, that's where we'll work, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers will work for FEMA, and we'll be able to quickly try to restore navigational projects and begin efforts to pre-storm levels. So we're also we have capabilities and contract mechanisms and assets that are in the area that can help with debris removal, infrastructure assessment, and there are several other things that would come through taskings from FEMA if those things are required. So we're closely in contact with the state at the Emergency Operations Center in Albany and prepared to assist where necessary. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much. First, let me begin by thanking Howard Glazer, the Director of State Operations, who has been coordinating this effort and been doing a great job. Colonel Paul Owens, who you just heard from, we thank you very much, and the Army Corps of Engineers for their cooperation and assistance. We're also joined by State Police Superintendent Joseph D'Amico, Major General Patrick Murphy, Captain Gordon Lobel from the Captain of the Port from the United States Coast Guard, Michael Moriarty, Deputy Administrator of FEMA, and Scott Reckler, who is Director of the Port Authority, and Joseph Loda, who is the Chairman and CEO of the MTA, as you know. First, let me report that yesterday we spent the day traveling the state, and we are very comfortable with the preparation that has been done all across the state. We're comfortable with the level of coordination between the state government and the local governments. We went as far as the Adirondacks yesterday, and people are prepared. We went through Hurricane Irene just a little while ago, and in a cruel irony, I think the frequency of the exposure has actually assisted us in getting prepared. So I think we've done everything that we need to do, and so far, as you've heard, the storm is as we predicted. There's going to be a lot of rain, and there's going to be a lot of wind, and that is proceeding. The question is the extent of the storm surge. It is already high. It's already at Irene levels. And the question is going to be, what level does the surge take us to later on this afternoon, later this evening, when it's actually high tide? And that's, if there's a possible area of concern, that is it, and that's what we are monitoring closely now. As an added precaution today, we are announcing that we are going to close the Holland Tunnel and the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel, Brooklyn Battery Tunnel now renamed the UL Carey Tunnel, actually, at 2 o'clock today. Those tunnels are prone to flood. And as a precaution, we are going to be closing those tunnels at 2 o'clock today. The bridges at this point will remain open. They close at 60-mile-per-hour winds. Weather forecast suggests gusts up to 90 miles per hour, so people should keep an eye on that. This situation may be updated as we go throughout the day. We will also be calling up an additional 1,000 National Guards people. General Murphy is in charge of that. We called up 1,000 yesterday, and we're going to call up an additional 1,000 to make sure we have all the resources that we need to deal with the surge and any damage from the surge. Our current focus, as you heard, is on the surge and what the surge could mean. We've been working with the Coast Guard and the Army Corps of Engineers on that. We'll be redeploying all the naval equipment that we have in the state and local governments have in upstate New York to the downstate area, New York City, Long Island, et cetera, to be of assistance if we need it. Rescue boats, military boats, state police boats, et cetera, will be moved downstate. We're also preparing for the power outages that we have been discussing. People wondered why we're suggesting that these may be prolonged power outages. After a disaster, hurricane, flood, et cetera. What normally happens is crews, utility crews from other states come to the affected area, and you have an influx of crews, and that helps you do the repairs. Here there are so many states, potentially the entire eastern seaboard or the northern part, who are going to need assistance. There aren't enough crews to call in, and you're going to have states basically in competition for scarce resources. We have commitments of about 4,000 utility workers to come into the state at this time. Once we know where the damage is actually done, we can also redeploy within the state. In other words, if the power outages are more severe downstate, we can bring upstate resources to the assistance of downstate and vice versa. But we're preparing for that, and the additional National Guard will also be helpful with that. The federal cooperation, I believe, has been extraordinary, and I want to thank our federal partners. I worked in the federal government for 8 years at the Department of Housing and Urban Development, and I was basically on the other side of the table, on the federal side of the table. HUD would do just this, would respond in disasters. So I had a lot of experience during those 8 years. I never thought it would come in handy, but it wound up coming in handy. And I can tell you from that experience, this federal response has been extraordinary. I spoke with the president yesterday. He granted our declaration for what they call a pre-landfall disaster declaration. That allows us more flexibility and access to federal funds. So we couldn't be asking for anything else from our federal partners. I want to thank them for that. Again, as the situation changes, there'll be updates during the course of the day, and people should keep themselves informed. We've been very good at telling you about what government is doing and what government's responsibility is. Citizens have a duty in this, too. They need to be smart. They need to use common sense. Citizens do not need to be on the road. You really don't. You should leave the roads free. There are emergency vehicles on the roads. We need to be able to allow those emergency vehicles access. You do not need to be going to the beach to take pictures. You really don't. Don't be fooled. Don't look out the window and say, well, you know what, it doesn't look so bad. The worst is still coming. So keep yourself safe and use common sense. And also let me take this opportunity to thank all New Yorkers. As I mentioned, I was all across the state the past few days. And it never ceases to amaze me how New Yorkers are able to rise to the occasion. We are known for our courage and our toughness, but we also have a sense of community that is really inspirational. And it seems in our darkest hours is when New Yorkers shine the brightest. And you can see that again through this situation already. And it makes me proud to be a New Yorker. So thank all the partners who are here at the table today. Any questions, please feel free. Well, you know, first it changes. You prepare. You do all the preparation that you can do, and then you actually see what cards you're dealt. We have done preparations statewide. If you remember with Hurricane Irene, all the projections were that the damage was going to be in downstate New York, Long Island, New York City. Turned out the exact opposite with Hurricane Irene. Damage downstate was minimal. Damage upstate was very bad. So now the projections are, once again, downstate is going to be affected, Long Island, Barrier Islands, and New York City on the storm surge. But we're still preparing statewide. The latest projections would suggest the storm surge could be problematic, flooding could be problematic in the low-lying coastal areas, Long Island, New York City, and that's where we're focused, working with the Coast Guard now, Army Corps of Engineers, pumping capacity, et cetera.
Governor, when did you make the decision to close the tunnels, and what precipitated it? Was it the latest forecast? Was it the wind gusts?
The possible projections on the storm surge and the flooding are troublesome. And those two tunnels are prone to flooding in the first place, so that was an adjustment that we made today. And there may be more adjustments as the day goes on, right? As the conditions change, then you change your behavior.
You mentioned 60 miles an hour for the bridges. Is there a specific condition that would cause closure of the other tunnels, the Midtown Tunnel, the Lincoln Tunnel?
Let me ask Joseph Loda if he has wants to respond to that.
The Midtown Tunnel is never closed for wind conditions before or flooding conditions. The Midtown Tunnel was made and taking that into account. However, if we believe that there's any flooding that's coming in at the 37th Street entrance or on the Queens side, we will, and we think that's going to happen, we will recommend to the governor that it close. Melissa, we're very concerned about the water surge in the Battery, where most of our lines go down and where the tunnels to Brooklyn go. So that is one of our lowest lying areas, and that's exactly, you know, we've boarded them up. We've put up various different barriers to prevent the water from coming in. But that's my biggest concern. As the governor mentioned yesterday, our subway system and salt water do not mix very well together.
Well, we went down to the World Trade Center site this morning. Again, what's the issue of the hour is the storm surge and flooding and what could it mean. Joe just spoke to how it could be problematic for the subway system. Subway system and salt water especially do not mix. Fresh water is one thing. Salt water is something else. One of the other concerns in Lower Manhattan would obviously be the World Trade Center site. It's still under construction, so you have the pit, as they call it, open. And we took a tour there with the people who are in charge. I think, God bless them, that is the site of resilience and the site of can-do. And I believe they're prepared for it. They have thousands of sandbags that they're putting in. They have pumps in place. First order of business to keep water out of the site, and they believe they've done what they need to do that. If water does get in, they believe they have the pumping capacity. Again, the big question mark on these issues is how much water, right? It keeps coming back to that. Storm surge, how much water? You asked Joe Loda, have you made sure that the subways won't flood? You take every precaution you can take, but then how much water and where? And that's the great question. But I'm the experts at the World Trade Center site were confident this morning.
Sure. We can also provide that information to you as well. The bottom line is that they're predicting about an 11.7-foot surge plus tide for this evening between around 8 and 9 p.m. That is almost probably a foot over where Irene was at a similar time. And just to give you the comparisons, you had about a 9.5-foot total surge in Irene. You're looking at a possible up to, depending on the predictions, 11.7-foot surge. Surge meaning all in, all of these weather factors all together at its peak time. And there are models that suggested that Irene was 6 inches to a foot away from much more serious flooding than we actually saw happen during that event. If you're on the Battery today and you're on the west side, you can see water starting to lap up a little bit on the west side of New York in particular right now.
And, Jim, with all these things, you try to find the balance, right? You don't want to over-prepare because, first, it's costly. There are many obstructions for people. You close down business. You hurt the economy for a short period of time. So you don't want to over-prepare, but you really don't want to be under-prepared either. And, when things go bad in a situation like this, they can go very bad. I was thinking back when I was on the federal side, Red River flood was one of the issues that we dealt with. I don't know if you were there at that time, Mike. Entire town was underwater. Hurricane Andrew, Homestead, Florida. You know, when it goes bad, it goes very bad. So prudence and err on the side of caution, but bring a sense of balance, and I think we brought that here. First, let's clarify what happened last time. Hurricane Irene was a bust. No, it wasn't. There was a tremendous amount of damage done by Hurricane Irene. Tremendous. The projection on where the damage was going to be was off. But that storm wreaked havoc in people's lives. You have people who are still building back from Hurricane Storm Irene to this day. We were in communities yesterday where they're still not fully recovered from Irene. And you go through the community and you see all signs of Irene. So anyone who says, well, they got it wrong with Irene, you're only half right. They got wrong the point of impact, but the impact was severe. So they didn't get it wrong, totally. Do not underestimate this storm. These forecasts for the surge are really extraordinary. And they're talking about surges that we have not seen before. So there is nothing at all to be taken lightly. We don't want people to panic. We don't want people to think we're not under control or we haven't done everything we need to do. But they need to do their part too. And if they are in an evacuation zone, evacuate. I have probably as much information on this storm as anyone. If I was in that area, I would evacuate, and I wouldn't think about it twice.
Governor, if I could, I'd like to also add, if I could, that, you know, Hurricane Irene had dramatic effects on the New Jersey area, and because I know we're got a regional audience, I'd just like to say that the flooding that we think is happening and is potentially for happen in the Raritan River Basin and the Passaic River Basin are significant consequences from the storm that are very probable at this time, too. So even though we've talked primarily about the New York threats, there are significant threats to New Jersey in terms of the Raritan River Basin and the Passaic River Basin. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Karen. Jacob? Well, Jacob, it basically would be flooding in the Zone A, in the low-lying areas. If you had an extraordinary amount of water, first MTA, Joe Loda's point, you'd have salt water going into the subway system. It would go through the grates. It would enter the subway system, which is highly problematic for the subway system, the switches, et cetera, especially with the salt. But it depends on the extent, you know, how much flooding, how many roads, how many homes, and it just goes by the extent of the flood, by the extent of the surge. Anyone have any other comments that they would like to make? Joe, you want to speak to the horrors of salt water in the subway system?
Right. Well, first off, the governor, you mentioned the switches. The switches are really important for controlling the flow of the subway system. They could corrode quite easily. We're also, obviously, our signaling system. It's an electronic signaling system, and again, the corrosion that can come from there is significant. So the general ability to run the system and keep it safe is in jeopardy.
Well,
I'm hoping that there is no salt water down in the system, that we've covered it up. But we've got the materials and the wherewithal necessary to repair whatever damage there is as quickly as possible.
Okay, my last point would just be to reiterate, please, citizens, they have a job to do here today also. Use common sense. You really do not need to be on the roads. Let the first responders do what they do. Listen to your TV. Get the updates for any change in conditions as we go through the day. And thank you all very much for taking the time to join us this morning. Thank you.
Thank you.